This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan with Lim Soo Ann and Kelly Anisa. So before the break, we were talking about bullying. Now, in relation to our second story, we have a poll going on Twitter.
We asked you, how do you feel about national exams at the primary school level? So 53% of you have said no, they are unnecessary. And 47% of you said yes, they are important. So you can take that poll at BFM Radio on Twitter, or you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or call us at 03-7733-2900.
And why we're asking you that is because the National Union of Teaching Profession, or more commonly known as the NUTP, has called for UPSR to be abolished. And this idea of abolishing UPSR was actually first announced back in 2016, by the then Education Minister Mat Teh Khalid. Mm. And back then, NUTP did also support that idea. And now they're renewing those calls to abolish UPSR because they feel that it should be part of an effort to move our education system away from an exam-oriented one.
Yeah, so NUTP's Secretary General Harry Tan also said that abolishing assessment tests at the primary school level would ease the burden that's being put on the pupils and would also help society as a whole to move away from the idea that intelligence is basically measured by how many A's you score in an exam. Mm-hmm. So he goes on to say that even if UPSR is abolished, it doesn't mean that pupils will not be evaluated, especially when it comes to the eligibility for attending fully residential schools or Sekolah Berasrama Penuh. So instead, he said that the schools can evaluate students using assessment tests rather than a standardized nationwide examination.
But since January this year, mid-year or final exams for pupils from year 1 to 3 have been scrapped, as you know, was announced by the Education Director General, Dr. Amir Senin. So instead, pupils are continuously assessed through classroom-based assessments. And this is also to allow schools to focus more on teaching and for pupils to discover the joy of learning.
Right. So so what would the impact be if we extend that the scrapping of the exam not only to Standard 1 to Standard 3, but also up to Standard 6, so the entire primary school education? So we have on the line Elmarie Poyiter, Managing Director of Right Education, which is an education consultant here in Malaysia. So Elmarie, first of all, what are your thoughts on the use of UPSR to assess students at the primary school level?
There's nothing wrong with a standardized examination, but it is the format of that examination that causes or that prevents change, especially in the area of thinking and innovation. So we all know that teachers teach for the exam. And internationally, there's even a movement towards the abolishment of the PISA standards for the very same reason. So on the one hand, an examination against the local standards could be seen as an advantage and it could be seen as a disadvantage. In my personal opinion, I feel that UPSR should either be abandoned or there should be a radical change in the format of the exam with a much less or much reduced weightage for such an exam should it continue to exist.
So what do you think? So no, Harry Tan has also mentioned that it will, without UPSR, we will then move on to a classroom-based assessment. But what are the challenges in implementing that throughout the whole of primary education?
There are numerous challenges in implementing classroom-based assessments. And I'd say it's twofold. Firstly, it's the skills of teachers in order to be able to do this accurately and efficiently. And secondly, would be parents and communities' trust in these assessments. So they would always be, if we look at the second aspect, parents would always question standards, whether one teacher's assessment is the same as another teacher's assessment, whether one school's assessment is the same as another school's or state or district. I mean, that always is a problem of achieving or determining standards and whether those assessments do meet the standards. But there are ways in which that can be addressed. So moderation can still take place. There can still be samples of learner materials submitted for to a standards or moderating council. It could be moderators who look at individual teacher assessments and then benchmark the school's performance against the national standards. So it is possible to it doesn't mean that classroom-based assessment is never standards-based or never related to a national standard. In terms of teacher skills, this is where I see the biggest problem. I've been in Malaysia working on classroom-based assessment and training teachers in 21st century teaching competencies for the past 9 years. And it is an area of great development for our teachers. Understanding observation, understanding how to assess students on a more qualitative instead of a quantitative basis, how to record these assessments, how to look at all the wide variety of tools that are out there, how to implement differentiation and how that affects different assessments of learners. So that to me is the largest stumbling block. And you cannot simply remove the exam without making sure that very effective professional learning is offered to the schools. And that, of course, is a problem in itself, because that would mean you would require really well trained professionals who can bring about or who could provide this in-service training for teachers. And we know that that is a huge task. The cascade model of training does not work. So how do we ensure that the professional learning communities are well equipped to reflect and investigate and look at their own practices and gradually maybe a response could be to gradually reduce the UPSR weightage on a year or 2 yearly basis so that a target is set for maybe 5 or 6 years from now instead of just suddenly removing it altogether overnight.
Harry Tan also mentioned that abolishing UPSR would help relieve the burden that pupils face in primary school, especially leading up to the exams. Do you think abolishing UPSR could reduce the pressure put on them?
Well, you know, the first thing that you usually see when you enter a school, whether it's a primary school or a secondary school with UPSR and SPM, is 224 days till UPSR. I mean, this is a big sword that hangs over the students' heads right from day one, and that is cascaded throughout the whole school. So if you remove UPSR, I think one of the biggest advantages would be that students will actually get enough teaching time. We know that, you know, UPSR is now in the first 2 weeks of September. And it's common knowledge that that's the end of the school year. Almost nothing happens in the school during those UPSR weeks. And then there's a school examination for the rest of the grades and nothing happens. So it is such a false representation of the number of months of actual teaching time that students have. So I would say the first biggest benefit would be students can get the proper tuition in schools and learning experiences from January when the school starts until November when the schools are supposed to close. Months of extra learning time will be added. And also added to that, months of revision that is spent on preparing standard sixes for this exam will also then become real teaching time, real opportunities for learning. Whether it would be reduced stress, I mean, there would, I should suppose, just be another kind of stress that's put on them by parents. And I think it's such a wider attitudinal change that is required, not only of schools, but also of parents and re-educating parents about what true learning really is about. It is about the process. It is about the thinking and the reflection and the metacognition. It is not about necessarily the product or the end result of this learning process. And that means they need more time, and there's not enough time. We can't keep on putting in more and more content into the curriculum. So it's not just a question of removing UPSR, it's also a deep reflection on the curriculum and on offering choice and offering more opportunities for students to work in cross-collaborative, cross-curricular units and to reflect on the meaning of what they are learning. And instead of just chasing exams, chasing outcomes, chasing products, that can get a qualitative number attached to it.
Thanks for speaking to us, Almarie. That was Almarie Poikiter, Managing Director of Right Education.
So we also wanted to get a bit of insight into the perspective of parents when it comes to the idea of abolishing UPSR. We had our intern Jasmine get a few vox pops from parents around our office, and here's what they had to say on whether they see UPSR as a necessity for their children and why.
I think it's important to a certain extent because it gauges the child's understanding and capability, which they have acquired in the last 6 years. And it gives a chance for the parents to also understand the ability and what is there to work on the child before they advance to secondary school. And, you know, when you go to secondary school, they also have to, you know, class placement and all that. So it determines like where the child is academically, what are the area of improvement. But at the same time, UPSR does, doing bad in UPSR does not mean it's the end for the child, and it does not mean that the child will not excel.
For me, I think it's good for them as we can evaluate what's their level of education during all these years in the school. Not necessary to have very good results. Along that, do their best, I think that's good enough for them to go for the next level, because it's after UPSR you're going for the secondary, right? So I think it's good evaluation for them.
I think the UPSR is still relevant in some ways, especially when you still need to gauge, well, not really performance, but interest of, I think, students before they hit a certain age where they have to narrow down in terms of what is it that they want to specialize in. I think it's important that we have, you know, examinations so that we could know whether or not, for example, maths or science are subject of interest for them. So in that sense, I think those milestone exams still has a role to play. It's just a matter of whether or not whether we are going to expand beyond, you know, those STEM subjects. So I think that would be my bigger questions.
I agree. It's a level that you can test your son or your daughter, okay, at where is their level before they can enter to the Form 1.
So we do have some thoughts on the same issue on social media as well, right? Because we've been asking you in a poll.
Yeah, so we asked you, how do you feel about national exams at the primary school level? Captain Meow wrote us to us on Twitter and said, less exams is good for the kids. They need more of a holistic approach in these formative years. And Jasmine wrote in and said, it's been a long time since I took the UPSR and I don't want to relive the panic. That being said, though, if I remember right, primary schools have a lot of midterms. Maybe UPSR, no, but there are other ways of assessment to evaluate kids for their talents and or interest. And to be honest, if I went back at the time, I would have enjoyed primary school a lot more with less exams. Maybe abolishing UPSR can encourage kids to enjoy learning more with less pressure to feel tested or judged for their marks on exams.
And what are the poll results saying?
So, we asked, how do you feel about national exams at the primary school level? So 50% of you said yes, they are important, where another 50% of you said no, they are unnecessary. So quite an equal divide there.
I think that's quite indicative of even the comments that we've gotten from the parents that we spoke to, right? Because of course, I personally am in favor of not having assessments, especially at such a low level, at such a early level, I mean, because I think that kids should learn to enjoy learning and have fun and do it because there's something in it for them rather than because they're passing exams. And when you introduce the idea of hitting a certain grade so early, we get so used to the idea that that's the only reason why we're studying in the first place. And I don't think that that's a positive note to start off schooling with.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of them enjoying learning, I think that's where it goes back to the teachers as well. That yes, it's great to not have an examination based system, but teachers also have a very big role to play in that, in terms of how they teach kids to enjoy what they're learning and to do it because they want to, not because they have to.
And I don't know. I'm a fan of the idea of having a weighted exam, for example. Like, you don't have, it doesn't have to be a huge part, but I mean, it's more the idea of just getting a gauge of what the child has learned, but also the idea, you can also have the kids to do projects, tests, like small things, participation in class, things that actually have more of a participation value than just memorizing things and then vomiting it back out.
Yeah. So like what we do in college, basically, being marked them based on how you participate in class, like you said.
I think continuous assessment is something that could be quite useful as well, because if we do need a gauge of whether a child is progressing, doing that on a continuous basis rather than, some children are actually very good at passing exams. Mm-hmm. You know, I know some of my friends' kids, they're very good at memorizing the things that they need to memorize so that they can pass the exam. But ask them the same things 2 or 3 months after the exam is done and they won't really remember them anymore.
Yeah, they don't know how to use that knowledge and to form opinions or to analyze something.
Yeah, so I think when you continuously assess their ability to put these things into practice and to retain them, that's a much better way of knowing whether the learning is effective or not.
That's true. So the assessments should, if need be, should also take into account all of those.
Like, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And
I think another thing is just to make sure that the teachers have to be continuous, wouldn't it? Because as in, like, you would have to have the same teacher throughout the year, for example, and have a system that makes sure that the teacher is quite closely involved with how the child learns and how the child develops, so that you have a good idea throughout the year and not just, you have one teacher for a few months and then you change teachers, which happens sometimes.
Yeah. I do think, though, that in general, in Malaysia, most of us are so used to that idea of getting the indicator of the exam results that we really don't think of learning as something more comprehensive. I mean, even when we did the show on the reason cut issue, right, on whether to introduce Jawi writing in schools, so much of the rhetoric that's been out in the media has been, what use is it? You know, we should be learning something more useful. This idea of learning and it having a practical outcome, it being useful, I think it can be a little bit of a damaging way to look at education and learning, because then we look at it not in terms of holistically what it's providing the child, but rather, if they study math, they can become this. If they are good at this, they can become that. Rather than all the intangible benefits that an education system should be giving to your child in the first place.
So I guess the takeaway is that if we are trying to reform one part of the education system, for example, of our assessment, when we think about it, it's actually the entire system altogether. It's the teachers, it's the syllabus, it's the entire format of how we look at things.
Yeah.
So it's going to probably take a while before we get to that place.
Yeah.
And often we see that being put in practice as well. The problem is that often with every new education minister, one aspect of it is played around with or changed or tweaked, but the problem is it's a part of a larger whole, and unless the entire system is looked at as being so interconnected, these changes often don't mean very much beyond the short term.
It's just like just patching holes, isn't it? You're not fixing the actual problem, but you're kind of just fixing the symptoms that happen.
Right. So do we want to check in very quickly on our social media poll before we close off?
All right. So we asked you on Twitter, how do you feel about national exams at the primary school level? Again, 50% of you said yes, they are important, and another 50% of you said no, they are unnecessary.
So you can keep that conversation going at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us your thoughts at 018-789-8899. We're also on Facebook. Just look up BFM The Bigger Picture. So if you've missed any part of our show today, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app, and also on Spotify. Coming around at 3 p.m. on Live and Learn, Kelly Anisa will be sticking around to speak to T.S. Sharifah Nur Hisham of Institute of Youth Research Malaysia about what they do and what we can learn from their research. So we leave you now with Lynyrd Skynyrd and Don't Ask Me No Questions, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.